everybody. This is Pam coming from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which is freely downloadable on iTunes. And you can also find it accessible to the blog Make Room for the Stuttering. As always, I am delighted to have yet another amazing woman as a guest today. So please join me in saying hello to Elaine. Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. To get us started, could you formally introduce yourself and tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do?
Sure. My name's Elaine Saeta, and I am a person who stutters. I've stuttered for as long as I can remember when I first started talking, I assume, about two or three. And I live in Seattle, Washington. And I currently am a speech-language pathologist working in the schools as well as I have a private practice where I work with kids who stutter.
Is that something that you always, is it something that you always wanted to do? Work as a speech pathologist, or what kind of got you hooked into that field?
Well, when I was growing up, I was very embarrassed about my stuttering. I tried to hide it. I was pretty mild. I've always been kind of mild, which to me just kind of pushed me to be covert because I could hide it pretty well most of the time, but it also meant a lot of emotional struggles and mental gymnastics, as somebody once said, but a lot of stuff going on in my brain trying to hide it, but I was very embarrassed about it. My parents didn't talk about it when I was growing up. It was very much the Wendell Johnson theory of don't talk about it, don't diagnose it, and she'll outgrow it, which wasn't true. But mm-hmm. But my parents followed my pediatrician's advice, and so they never really talked to me about it. So to me, it was this big elephant in the living room. It was so shameful. Nobody could even talk about it. So I just thought it was something so bad. I had no way to talk about it. I had no way to even understand it. I actually wasn't even in speech therapy when I was growing up, and I'm not really sure why. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. Maybe I hid it really well. I'm not really sure. My parents, as I got older and talked to them, they said that they knew I stuttered when I was nervous, but they never realized it was such a big thing. But so it was a big thing. It was a huge thing growing up, and I was very ashamed of it. All through junior high and high school were really, really tough. And I got into my 20s and still struggle through college, probably my late 20s, maybe. I found the NSA. I had the National Stuttering Association information in a drawer for a long time. And I finally, you know, the truth is I actually saw a picture of a speech therapist who stutters in the local newspaper who was the local chapter leader. And I saw her picture and I was like, wow, that just looks so normal. I just didn't even have words to put on stuttering. I really didn't know anyone who stuttered. I didn't know anything about it. I just felt really, really different and very ashamed of it. But I saw this picture of Julie, and Julie and I laugh about it now. But and I went to a meeting, and it completely changed my life. I mean, the NSA completely changed my life. I mean, I learned how to deal with my stuttering, how to face it, how to be okay with it, how to talk about it. And I saw other people completely okay with it and living their life. And I, at that point, decided I wanted to learn more about stuttering. I wanted as much information as I possibly could. And so I decided to go back to school in my 30s to get my master's in speech pathology.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What had been your first college major?
My first degree was in child development, and I was for those years I was working the first part of my 20s I was working in child care and before and after school care. It then kind of turned into working on parenting because I liked working with the whole family, and so I did a lot of parent education and parenting classes and working with the parents in their home. I did a home-based early intervention program for low-income families, and I was doing a lot of parent education.
Now, did your stuttering ever in interfere with any of that of that work?
That's a really good question. And I mean, I was very ashamed of it, and every once in a while people would mention it and I wanted to crawl into a hole. I didn't have a handle on it. But I don't think it really ever got in the way. It was the older I got, the more I started pushing myself. When I was first doing childcare, that was kind of easy for me, just working with the kids, working with the whole family, and the more communication that involves and parent education's a lot of communication. That was a lot harder, and I started pushing myself because I wasn't challenged enough. I wanted more. I wanted it. I was just afraid of the communication, but I pushed myself, and I wasn't going to let stuttering hold me back. So it took me a while, but I kept going forward.
Now, I've heard so many people make the comment that you did that when you went to that first meeting of the NSA and subsequently became involved, that it completely changed your life. For you, really, what did that mean?
Well, I met people who understood. Well, I'm gonna start crying. It was really deep. I met people for the first time who really got it, who really understood what stuttering was. I mean, I had spent 20, however many years, feeling really alone, and I finally had found people who not only really understood it but lived it every day of their life, and their story was my story, like not being able to order what you want to order, going or not even being able to answer the phone because nothing's coming out and people hang up on you. And all the stories that I lived every day that I had no idea other people felt. And these people were telling my story. I really had no idea for 25 years. I just was very alone. And it changed my whole perspective of me and life and being social, and I really pushed myself even more because I saw people talking about it at work. I mean, I was still very, very ashamed. I didn't have the tools to talk about it, and watching how other people did that and learning from them. And I did go to speech therapy a little bit as an adult to kind of learn as much as I could before I went back to grad school, but and just learning to talk about it and learning to tell other people about it. It was a huge thing for me to talk to my dad about it. My mom had passed away when I was 25, and so I didn't have a great chance to have deep conversations with her because it was kind of wasn't quite there yet in my own journey of stuttering. But the whole conversation I had with my dad was very difficult, and a lot of people in the NSA know the journey I had into actually having that conversation. And now my dad and I are great friends, and we talk about it all the time, and he knows everything about everything. And it seems so simple, but it wasn't. I mean, he had never, ever, ever talked about it. We had never mentioned that word. I had never, he'd, it just was never talked about, and I just couldn't live my life that way anymore. And so I had to talk to him about it. And that was very, very difficult. And having the support of the NSA, it just kind of opened my life to me, and be able to talk about anything was, I mean, it was just very empowering.
Well, the reason that I asked is that I too had a similar experience when I first found the NSA as well, and when I went to my first conference. And I think sometimes, when we say go to the NSA, it'll change your life, people don't really know what that means unless we can put it into words and let people hear that. But when I first went to the NSA conference in 2006, one of the workshops that I went to, I was drawn to it by the description in the workbook, and I had never either dealt with anything. I went to the covert workshop, and like you, I was like, oh my God, that's me. Like, and I didn't even know there had been a word for what I had been doing either. And to just suddenly have that impact you and hit you full force, I know what you mean. It just profoundly changes the way you think about stuttering and the way that you view yourself as a person who stutters. And I think that's what is, at least for me, what was life-changing, the way that I came to view myself. And it sounds like perhaps your story is at least a little similar.
Yeah, I mean, the NSA gave me the tools to learn about stuttering and learn about me and where I was at, and to completely be able to understand the stuttering part of me in a way that was healthy and acceptable and learn to be okay with it. That was, it's been a journey, learning to accept it. When you spend a quarter of a century being so ashamed of something, it's hard to just turn around and change that view. And the NSA is very, very good at allowing people to grow in that way. And the covert workshop, every time I go, it's still very emotional for me because it's very personal. And the stories are very personal, but it cuts across so many people's lives it's just amazing.
Yeah. I'm particularly interested because I don't know the story of your journey that includes your father, but I'm curious about that because, like you, my father and I have never ever discussed it to this day, and I was covert entirely until 4 years ago. And I've had a couple of very brief sentences, maybe, about stuttering with my mother, but never with my father. And I always felt, since I was 5 years old, that I had shamed him and that I had let him down and disappointed him. And his negative feedback that I can remember from way back then, yelling at me and screaming at me to not talk like that, I think certainly was the propellant for me to become covert. But I'm just curious, how did you initiate that? Did you go to your father? Did he come to you? I mean, how did that conversation happen or begin?
Well, and everyone's story about how their parents reacted is all a little bit different. And honestly, my family, we never, ever talked about it. My parents never said anything positive or negative. And I have two older brothers who used to tease me like you wouldn't believe, but never, ever teased me about my stuttering, ever. And, you know, I mean, but yet they teased me about everything else, but and they still do. I still see them and they tease me. I just look at them like they're, anyway. But never about stuttering, ever. And so I never had any, like, negative feedback from them, but never positive either. And how do you bring up something that's never been talked about that's so intensely personal? And how I did it, I talked to a lot of people, including a speech therapist, And I talked to his wife. He had remarried after my mom passed away, and her and I at some point got close. It took a while, but we got very close. And I told her exactly what I wanted to do and talked to, I mean, I had told her, and our relationship was different because she didn't mother me. I was already an adult when she came in. So it was easier to talk to her But I gave her a heads up to kind of help the situation and, you know, to tell her I wanted to talk about something serious and personal to me. And so she kind of helped that. She didn't talk to him about it beforehand, but she helped to ease the situation and kind of prepare him that I really needed to talk about something serious. And I don't know what she did exactly, but she just kind of helped. But she didn't mention it before. But and I don't know exactly how I brought it up, but we were just sitting in his living room in Las Vegas where they live. And I just went to visit one, you know, for 3 or 4 days. And I had just told him that I've really struggled with my stuttering. And he, you know, his response was very, and I don't want, you know, I have nothing bad to say about my father, but he just never saw it as a big deal ever. You know, he's like, yeah, you stutter a little bit. Uh-huh. You know, I remember, but like it never had any effect on him at all. So he doesn't really remember that. Now, my mom would probably remember a little bit more. She tried to take me to speech therapy when I was 12. And it's pretty common for that early adolescent going into adolescence and all your hormones are changing that you stutter a lot more. And I must have been stuttering a lot more at 12 because she did take me to a therapist. But my dad, you know, he was just like, and at some point he did say to me, well, how come you didn't say anything to us? You know, he's like, I didn't know. How come you didn't say anything? And I'm like, I didn't have the tools. I mean, I was the child, you know, how come they didn't say anything to me? And, so, but we had a really good conversation. They did the best they could. And, you know, I'm thankful there wasn't anything negative. I am. I'm very thankful. I mean, you know, there wasn't anything positive, but there was never anything negative. At school there was, but I always felt safe at home. And but my dad knows my, I mean, from that point on, he knows my story of getting more involved in the National Stuttering Association and eventually, you know, chapter leader and eventually the executive director and giving speeches and giving workshops and being on the radio. And I mean, all the things that, you know, he's a very much a big part of my life. And when I'm nervous about something or a new opportunity comes up because I stutter, you know, I talk to him about it often. And so he's beginning to, he doesn't really totally understand because he can't, but he's very supportive and he's very proud of me. And that's all I could want.
Yeah. Wow. That is a story because, you know, I've often felt myself, you know, what would it be like to have that conversation with him and let him know how I felt as a little girl. And I've always wanted to ask him, were you ashamed of me? You know, but then I wonder, like, if we really could have that conversation, would he be honest? And then if he was ashamed of me, like, do I really want to hear that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm still struggling with that myself because, you know, I think that somewhere deep down inside, for me, it is important to someday, before it's too late, to have the courage to do that. So it's just, sharing your story just helped me by, you know, realizing that somebody else also struggled with needing to have that important conversation with a parent. So I'm
well, and it's
yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Stutterers do
it's
that.
It's funny that you say that about because I actually did ask my dad that. Yeah, not in the initial conversation, but over time, I actually did ask him if he was ever embarrassed by my stuttering. And
really?
You're right, I don't think I would have wanted to know the answer if the answer was yes, but I must have known it was going to be a safe answer. I don't know, I didn't ask him right away, but at some point I did. But, you know, he wasn't even aware of my stuttering very much. Plus, I was very shy and very covert, so I didn't talk a lot, and I was shy in general, and so, you know, he probably didn't have a lot of opportunities around groups of people that I'd be running around stuttering. So, but yeah, he said no. But, you know, it's the interesting responses I've had from my brothers, though. I straight out talk to them, but they don't want to talk about it. They're just like, yeah, I used to stutter. Okay. Then they want to talk about something else. And that's fine. They're in their own lives. But I still mention it, because it's a part of my life every day. And so, what I'm doing or where I'm going so it still comes up, but they don't ask questions. They're not curious about what it's like for me, and that's okay. So.
Yeah, my mo most of my siblings are like that as well. I have four sisters and a brother, and since I came out mostly, I've been able to have a really open and honest dialogue with one sibling, but the others really are like, oh, all right. And then, yeah, this is what I've been doing, and it's kind of the same thing. They just change the topic because it's uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable, and especially if you aren't the one that's lived it. It's as uncomfortable now as it was then when we didn't talk about it at all. So I certainly can relate. Now you also mentioned you talked to your dad about all the things that you've been doing, speeches and presentations and being on the radio. And when did you become okay with doing that stuff? Because I know as a covert, you weren't always comfortable doing that kind of stuff, right?
Right. And, I'm not sure I'm totally comfortable doing it now, but I in my journey, I got to a point where I was not going to let fear hold me back ever again. The fear of stuttering held me back from just daily stuff. Not, you asked about the job, and I'm sure it did in some ways, but I really kind of pushed myself. But, social interactions in large groups were always really hard. And if I had to give a speech, oh no, I wouldn't, oh my God, I might stutter, I can't do that. And so as I was coming out and being and accepting my stuttering and talking about my stuttering, I refused to let fear hold me back. So if I was afraid of something, I then had to do it. And I've kind of lived my life that way for the last geez, it's been more than 10 years now, about 12 years of, if I'm afraid of something, I'm going to have to do it. And I do that maybe 95% of the time now. I am a little afraid of bungee jumping, but I have no real desire to do it either. So, but even fears like that have nothing to do with talking. It's important to kind of just face fears if I'm afraid to go up and approach somebody or talk to somebody. Well, that might be underlying stuttering too, but I just go and do it. And so the more I got involved in the NSA, and as I was going to grad school, and I think it's important to share your life with others, and doing workshops is a way to do that, and or talking to classes at the university that I do and have been doing ever since I was in grad school. Just sharing my story can make a difference, and it helps me to just get up there and stutter and be okay with it. And general society doesn't know anything about stuttering, and so it's up to the people who stutter to build awareness and, to educate one person at a time. So I push myself. I do. It's hard, but I do.
I saw on Facebook, which of course has a large community of people who stutter, and I think it's great. I saw on Facebook you posted links, and it was kind of interesting to see you posted that you were going to be doing a NPR interview on stuttering, and then you posted the link that you did it, yay! And then you posted the actual link, and myself and I'm sure other people have listened, and it was wonderful. What was that like for you to do that? Because that was very recently, yes?
It was last week, and It was a huge fear too. I have not been that nervous, and I can't even remember the last time I was that nervous. And it didn't start out that way, but it built and built and built. But I got an email from the NSA saying, there's a local Seattle NPR station that wants to do a quick little 20-minute show on the King's Speech and on stuttering, and they want a local speech therapist, and the NSA asked if I would do it. And I think, oh sure, that sounds great. I get to educate. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, the more I thought about it, it's like, what did I just get myself into? I'm talking live on the radio, and so of course it's a fear, and I'm gonna face this fear. I honestly wasn't even worried about stuttering, and this has been a change for me in the last, 7, 8 years. I wasn't so much worried about stuttering because I actually wanted to stutter because I stutter, and I wanted to make sure I stuttered. I was so worried about content and sounding intelligent and getting the points across that are important to get across to people who don't stutter. And so it's like, okay, I want to sound intelligent and get my points across and stutter a little bit as well. Can I do all that? It sounds easy, right? I do it every day, but it's different. It's different on the radio. And it was all very intimidating. I went down to the studio. They put me in the green room, and then they said, okay, one minute before, we're going to put you in the studio, put your headphones on and make sure the volume works, and then we're going to go. I'm like, what? What? It's like, so, I mean, it was all just, it was all a little intimidating. And I was so nervous. I'm like, wow. I mean, really, I can't even remember the last time I was that nervous. I was really, really nervous. And, but I had some notes. I had a glass of water, and I just, I think I did pretty well. All the stuttering was real, and as you can tell right now, I don't stutter too much, but I was stuttering a lot. But I was nervous, and that's okay. And but I got my points across. At one point, it was really interesting because I totally blocked. I can't think of the word right now, but I totally blocked, and it was silence. It was like, and but there was this complete silence, and I was like, wow, that's how the king fell. When I mean, I had this microphone. It's radio airtime. It's live, and I'm like blocking, so there's this dead airtime. Thinking, wow, this is what the king. I mean, this is how the king fell. I mean, I felt the pressure to keep the conversation going because it's not. I mean, I was on the air. It was an interesting. It was an interesting feeling in that moment. I felt the king's fears. I mean, I feel him anyway, but yeah, I felt him in that moment big time.
Speaking of that, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was a great portrayal of the fear. I did. I mean, there is a serious fear of stuttering, and it's what I've been talking about. Trying to face a fear and not let it run your life. And I thought Colin Firth did a great job in portraying that fear. I mean, he obviously is a good actor because he doesn't stutter and doesn't really know that fear. But I thought he did a great job in doing that. I thought it was a good movie, and it's great that it's in the general population, and people who don't know anything about stuttering are talking about stuttering and asking me about it. And I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. I have seen it 3 times already. As a matter of fact, the
Wow.
first time, yeah, I went by myself the first time because I thought that I would be emotional, and I was worried about having somebody with me and, wondering why I was a basket case. So I wanted to see it the first time and feel my emotions with it. And then I went the second time with a friend who stutters, who wanted to go with somebody for moral support. So, because he is not really comfortable viewing stuttering outside of his own little world of how he tries to deal with it. And then I went last night with my mother and my sister,
Oh,
which
wow.
was Yeah, if somebody had asked me, even 5 years ago, would I ever be, at a movie that portrays stuttering as real as this one did with family members, I would have absolutely said, no way. So that was very powerful for me to be sitting with family members. My mom didn't say very much, but the fact that she went was, huge. And my sister called me later and we talked about it on the phone and she was like, I couldn't believe that. Like that really gave me a picture of how it must feel for you sometimes. So I was glad to hear that feedback from a sibling.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, but you did do an amazing job on that interview. I listened and I was like, wow, I just remember saying to myself, you go, girl, because I knew that having had the covert background that, that has not always been easy for you to do. And the callers that called in, how did they know about it? I mean, had people known that this was going to be aired at such and such a time?
Well, the interesting thing is that I mean, it was a radio call-in talk show, but the two callers they took were actually pre-planned. So they had asked me for names and numbers of people who stutter who could go on the air.
Oh, okay. I wondered
And
about that, but I wasn't sure.
Now, I'm sure they must have had lots of callers. He gave the phone number twice, I think, right? I can't remember, but he definitely gave it a few times during the 20 minutes, but they never took any live calls. The call that they took was live, but it was a pre-planned live call. And it was two people that I know that had volunteered and there were a few other people who were actually waiting on the phone, but there wasn't enough time. And so, yeah, it was all kind of planned.
But for those two people that did call in, did you get a chance to talk with them afterward about what it was like for them as well? I mean, was that their first time calling into a radio program?
Yes, they were all nervous, even the people who didn't get on. They were so nervous the whole time and then they never got on. It was kind of disappointing. But for the two people that got on, yeah, I think it's human nature to be like, well, I should have said this or I should have done that or I could have said this because that's what I did after too. But, I mean, if you get beyond that, they both were very impressive and they felt good about having that experience and they had their family members hear it, and those family members learned more about stuttering. Most of the people that I've talked to who don't stutter, who've listened to it, actually said, "Wow, I learned a lot about stuttering I didn't realize." And so that part was really good. And they, the 12-year-old boy, along with the dental hygienist who were both on there, both did a great job, and they both wished that they would have had more time because they had a lot more to say. And it just, I felt like I had more to say too. He didn't, I mean, it was all very short and quick. And, the host was good, but he moved everything along because there was only 20 minutes. So, but they were really nervous and feel really good about being on the air. Like they're, I mean, it's a big step for anyone who stutters. So, yeah, they're very proud. And I am too of them.
As they should be, because just as you said earlier, it's all about, educating and raising awareness one person at a time. And, even for those of us who stutter, if it's your first time getting that opportunity to make that difference, you really are making an impact and making a difference. And, I'm sure that 12-year-old is going to remember that for a long time.
Yeah, and I think about how I saw that picture of Julie in the newspaper and how that gave me the push to go to an NSA meeting. And, if I can get information out there and help somebody be able to get to a meeting, I mean, it's very powerful. It's very, very powerful. And I did find out last night, I went to a group with some NSA friends and they said that someone did go to the NSA meeting on Tuesday. I was on the radio on Monday night, on Tuesday night, that somebody knew went to the NSA meeting who had heard me and learned about the NSA from hearing the radio show. And Googled it or went on the website and found the meeting and went to the meeting. And I was like, wow, that was like that's it, right? That's why I would do something like that. So that I enjoyed that a lot. That felt really good.
Oh my God, I almost have goosebumps listening to that. That had to feel so empowering for you to know that you had a part in that.
Yeah, it really did just make my whole day. I mean, it's like, okay, that's why I went through that whole fear and was so nervous. And you know, I mean, it was quite the experience, but there are reasons why you do things, and somehow you're going to help people you don't know and in ways you don't know. And I enjoyed that part. I don't even know what to say. It was it's very humbling, but very, very meaningful for me that somebody heard that and it meant enough for them to find the NSA.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that whole paying it forward thing. You know, giving back and you know, not just talking about giving back, but you actually know that you have, because you hear about something like this, and you know, you may never know, but that person's life may be changed forever now because of that first step that the person took because of something that you helped with. And that really is, that's what it's all about.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. To change the subject completely, okay. I heard that you recently went to China.
I did.
Wow.
I went to China for 2 weeks over winter break, and actually was jet lagged most of last week, which was really interesting. I went on the radio still a little jet lagged, but that's all good. But I had the opportunity to go. I went by myself and had some local experiences in Shanghai, and then I went on a tour of Shanghai, Beijing, and Xi'an. And if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have been like, I'm not going to China. Why would I go to China? But you know, things kind of came together, and it was the most wonderful trip I've ever taken. I loved it. I mean, I honestly just loved it there. And there was some really odd experiences about the bathrooms and all kinds of things I could tell you about. But being in a place where it's so culturally different and you don't understand the language in any way. It's not, I mean, like Spanish, I could probably understand maybe 20%, which isn't a lot, but at least you can pick up some things.
Right.
I can't understand, you know, 0.1% of Chinese. I just don't know any of it. So I learned a lot about reading people's body language and using, you know, signs or, you know, not real signs because that isn't a way to communicate there, but just kind of using your body to, you know, to get the communication across. But I mean, it was very, it was a great experience. And once I was on the tour, we had an interpreter with us. The tour manager spoke English and Chinese, so that made it really easy. But even that was interesting because he was speaking Chinese to people, and I kind of knew what he was saying. I couldn't understand a single word, but I could tell by his body language and his tone of voice or whatever was going on. I was like, wow, you really can get a lot from people and not really understand the language. So that part was really interesting.
Yeah, that's just amazing to hear that you would go by yourself. Like, that is such a leap of faith and leap of courage to do, you know, to do that and have it turn out to be such an incredible experience, as you just said. Wow, that's great.
And you know what? It's one of those things too. Travel's on my bucket list, but on my list of things to do, like, what makes me happy? What do I want to do in the next 5 or 10 years or whatever? And travel's like way up there. I love traveling, and I just don't do it enough. I've been doing it more and more. And, you know, sometimes you have the money and not the time, or the time and not the money, or you don't have someone to travel with, And I just happened to have those 2 weeks off, and I had money, and I didn't have anyone to travel with. And bottom line, I'm not going to let the fear of traveling alone hold me back. I'm just not. It's like, you know, and it's a big part of the reason why I went on a tour, because it's kind of organized for you. There's other people. You're with them all the time. It makes it safe and comfortable. But I wouldn't, if anyone's going to China, I would suggest doing the tour anyway, even if you go with someone else, because it's so well organized and all the transportation and the communication and the hotels. I mean, it's just very difficult. So, I mean, it was nice having somebody kind of manage you around, you know. But then I met some great people. I actually did go around alone a little bit in Shanghai, and that was interesting. And I found a Starbucks, and, you know, I am from Seattle, so that was very home. I found my home. And I didn't really eat American food or Western food there at all, except I did eat at Starbucks once. But, I mean, all the different Chinese food and Thai food, and I just loved it. I loved the whole experience. It was so different. And all the older generation, and that really means over 50, which really isn't that old, but the older generation, I'll get up early every morning and go to the park and do exercises. They're either doing Tai Chi or dance, or it's so different than America. I mean, hundreds of people are just in the park, and it's freezing outside. Literally, it's like 32, 35 degrees, and they're just outside dancing or doing Tai Chi or whatever it is that they're doing. And every day I'm like, Americans don't do this. It's just different, but it's fascinating. And I just loved it. I loved learning about everything. It was great.
Wow, what an experience. Would you go back again if you had the chance?
I definitely would, and I might. There is a possible job opportunity there, and so you never know where life might take you. So I've also learned to just kind of be open to new experiences and open to where life's going to take me next. And so I don't really know what's going to happen, but I didn't know I was going to end up there for 2 weeks, you know, so who knows where I'm going to end up next year. I'm very open to the experiences that life has for me right now. So, and it's been a really fun journey in the last, well, my whole life, I guess I shouldn't say, you know, but in the last 10 years, being more open to life's experiences and not letting the fear hold me back. And it's been a great journey. It's been great.
Wow. And it also sounds like finally letting go of the fear of stuttering might have also been a piece of what's helped you be more open overall to just embracing life and embracing new things and being open. Do you think that intertwined to help shape where you're at today?
Yes, I definitely think so. In learning to accept my stuttering and be okay with that, and facing the fears has molded. I'm trying to think of the word, but it's changed my personality in a way that for me has been very positive and very fulfilling. And it's more than just the stuttering, for sure. But I feared so many, you know, being kind of a shy personality in general. And I mean, I feared so many things, and talking is involved in everything, as people who stutter know. I mean, everything you do takes communication. Right. And I just feared everything. And so really kind of letting go of all that has completely changed how I see things and who I am. And I'm still on a journey, believe me. I don't totally 100% except my stuttering, everything's great. I mean, I feel good about being a person who stutters. I do, and I could talk about it, but there are some situations that it's easier not to. And so I still work on that. I still work on, you know, why am I feeling that way in this situation, and what can I do to change that? So.
Well, I definitely agree that it's a journey, because I think we're all works in progress, whether we want to admit that or not. And I just thank you very much for sharing part of your journey with us. And it sounds like, you know, what you've learned and what you've experienced, you're able to pass on to other people and your clients. And perhaps if you've not had those experiences, you wouldn't be in a position to impact people the way that you are now. So
yeah, I was just gonna say I understand stuttering, but yes, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, again, thank you so much for being so honest and sharing this story with us. I think it's gonna touch a lot of lives.
Well, thank you for having me and sharing lots of women's stories, because I think it means a lot to a lot of people. So thank you.
Yeah. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.